Welcome to the
Idiots
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. It's E4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to E4 2025. That's right. We have been off for a month plus at this point, but we're here because Summer Game Fest is happening, and that means E4 is happening. I'm Tommy, of course. Jamie sitting over there. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I don't sound like I'm good, but I swear to you, I'm fine. It's like the body went, okay, it's Summer Game Fest. He's going to need his voice, and we're going to totally screw him over.
Yeah.
Because there's literally nothing wrong with me. It just went. So there's that.
It happens. That has been the story of our lives for most of the time doing this show, is that we just end up in pathetic states when we need to do a show the most.
Yes.
But alas, we're here. There's all kinds of pathetic states we can get into and talk about, but we don't have to do that right now. So we've got lots to talk about because we've got Summer Game Fest, obviously, to talk about. So in this first episode of E4, we're going to talk about the actual Summer Game Fest presentation with Jeff. And so we'll get into all of that momentarily. But we've also got a ton to catch up on, and so we need to catch up on some stuff. And so we'll do a little bit of that here at the front of the show. But first, like, how you been, man? We just haven't talked hardly in a month.
You guys have no idea how badly we have missed this, how badly we have tried to get together, like, multiple times in the last month. It is sad how hard we've been working to put this show together. I've been literally sitting here for the last 4 hours going, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? And the only reason that I wasn't literally sitting here when he turned the camera on is because these lights are hot. and I waited as long as I possibly could to turn the lights on. We are so excited to be here. We hope you are too.
Yes, absolutely. So all that said, we should just jump in because, like I said, we've got a lot to cover. Before we get into Summer Game Fest stuff, we got to talk about a couple of game things.
Yes, we do.
A couple of game things have happened in last that we did a show. One is that we finished the game. Amazingly.
Yes.
Like, it's been so long ago, I barely remember at this point. But Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is officially done, which is wonderful. Like, I love that game so dearly. And I am so glad it's over. I am just really, really glad it's over. Not because I hated the game. I could have played it for the rest of my life if there was nothing else to play. But there's a billion other things to play. And so I'm very, very glad to be done with it, even though it was a really, really, really great experience. It took over a year to get there, but we got there.
What I love about this is you say you're so glad that it's over. And you immediately went from that to Expedition 33.
Yes.
So there goes the rest of the year.
Yes.
That we can spend 20 minutes talking about that game. We're not going to because it's E4. That game is fabulous. And all I have to say, I swear I'm not going to spend 20 minutes. All I have to say is that when we started Rebirth, you said it scratches an itch.
Mm-hmm.
And you said the same thing about Remake. It scratches an itch. It does something that there's not a lot of stuff out there. And I watched you play through all of those. I'm like, that looks really cool. I wish I could get into that. I just don't think it's going to run well. And then we got Expedition 33.
Yes.
And it's got all of that stuff, and I'm like, yeah, he's totally right. This scratches an itch. I am not great at it with all the button presses and the counters and all of that jazz. I almost said garbage. It's not garbage. It's great. I'm just not good at it. I like it. It's fun to play. It's fun to watch. I would like for you to stream just a little bit of it just so I can see how you are playing.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of strategy involved.
Yeah.
There's a lot of strategy, a lot of character building. I talked to Duff earlier today, and he told me that he just finished Act Two, which is exactly where, or Act One, which is exactly where I'm at. Right at the end of Act One, just got Verso. So I think, I don't know where you are. I haven't asked. Whereabouts are you?
I'm into Act Two, and so
okay, good. Yeah. So we're right around the same spot.
So the big thing that happens at the end of Act One, we're both aware of.
Yes,
I was not expecting that. That caught me off guard.
Nobody has expected that, because Duff was like, "Dude, that was rough.
That was crazy, man. I haven't been surprised by a video game like that in a long time." Like, you get twists, and we'll try not to get too spoilery here, but there's a nice big twist at the end of Act One. And we get twists in video games all the time. And so, like, there's a part of me that's always, like, expecting something to happen. But I don't know why this one just, like, came and walloped me out of nowhere.
It came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, nowhere.
I was really blown away. And to the point that I had been playing that game, like, really consistently, because I love it.
Yeah, me too.
Fantastic.
Every
night. But, like, I played that sequence at the end of Act One and was like, I gotta like go decompress a little bit from this. I took like 2 days off at a game just to like get my mind right about what had happened before I came back to it, because it like blew my mind. And again, it's not like that unexpected of a thing or whatever, but it just really caught me off guard, and I really enjoyed that. Like, I thought that was really cool. So,
well, I will warn you, I've done a ton of research on this idol. I've watched a ton of YouTube, just trying to figure out how to do builds and get it right. Because that's one thing that Duff said. He said, I haven't looked up any builds. I haven't done anything. My party's a mess. and the one thing I will say about it is, like, I know that's your thing to go into things and just sort of figure it out. This one, I don't think you can do that. I mean, you can if you have a ton of time, which we don't have. And like, I would love to spend the next 6 months of my life trying to figure out how to play Lune, but I don't have it. So I'm not doing like a step-by-step thing, because you can't find a step-by-step thing.
Yeah.
I've looked, they don't exist.
Which I really like, that like it can't really fit into that box, like that you just go, okay, here's the best build, because right. There's just so many different, because to be clear on my approach, because you're right, I am a person that kind of likes, at this point, we've talked about this kind of transition in my gaming phase of getting older, of playing it organically, I think is how I've described it in the past, of just immersing myself in the world. And this one was enough as like, I want a little bit of what are people thinking, specifically around like stat allocation and skills and that kind of stuff. There's just so many different ways to approach it. And so I did kind of the same thing, just went and read a handful of articles that all contradicted each other. Again, to the point of like how many different ways there are to play this game. I've like read one article that's like, Gustav, you have to do exactly this. And the next article was like, do exactly the opposite of that. And I was like, okay, like whatever. So I have kind of taken like little bits and pieces of all those and kind of figured out my own approach, which Lune is like one of my key characters. Like, she is key to my...
You gotta tell me how you're playing, because I'm sure you found the Elemental Genesis build. So I got Elemental Trick, and I'm working toward Elemental Genesis, which is one of the in-game abilities. It's very expensive, costs a lot of AP. And we are just into Act Two.
Yeah.
And finding AP and having enough AP to do what you need to do every turn is really hard.
It is
tough. I do not have the cheater Pictos yet, which that's a big one that pops up in Act Two that you have to make a lot of these builds work.
Right.
It's just really... it's really hard. It's taking a lot of work. And what Duff was talking about earlier when he was texting me is, like, I'm not a guy that spends an hour and a half in a screen trying to figure stuff out. And you and I are the opposite because we spent years of our lives trying to figure out how to swap materia. And so this is that same deal. Like, how do you slot this? How do you make it work? How does the synergy work? And I will spend an hour in the build out screen trying to figure out how to get the most out of whatever I've got.
Yep.
And it's great, but it's also really hard.
It is really hard. And I've, you know, like, kind of gotten into a pattern that works for me that
so
I really like.
Tell me what you do, because I gotta know.
Yeah, so it's kind of a burn-focused build. And so I've got Lune that has the picto for, like, first attack. So right. She always gets to go first, and she can apply burn to all the enemies. And then I use Mael's, like, I can't remember what the skill is called, but she has a skill that you use it to switch to virtuoso stance, like if the enemy is burning.
Swift stride, yeah.
And then either the floret, the whatever it is, or the Percy. I try to remember the names of these. But, like, I could max damage on that every single time.
Here's the thing with Mael. Mael is my favorite.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime I have to do a one-on-one, it's with Mael, and it's like, bam. Like, every, like, traitor that you could do, like, the, like, fight the merchant, I'm like, they don't stand a chance. Mael just wipes them out.
did you do the, because Steph and I were talking about this, did you do the Gestural Arena?
I
spent a lot of hours in there because...
That's a good grind.
I figured out you could beat those guys multiple times and get that XP. And I was like, this is a great place to level up. So that's exactly what I did.
I did
and
too.
And she just wrecks. Like, I love her. I love playing with her.
Yeah, I do too. I blew through that arena with her. And I was like, oh, this is cake. And I went back and did it with Gustav and got just pummeled. I was like, oh, Mael's just awesome. Like, that's the gist of it.
So do you have Madolam? Did you get Madolam?
No, I did not.
Okay, because I have Madolam.
Yeah.
And I would not have gotten Madolam, but that part I looked it up. I was like, where do you get this?
Yeah.
And so I knew where to get it and how to make that happen. And that has made things a ton easier.
I'm sure.
Because that's her best weapon, period. Yeah. And no discussion.
Absolutely. But until you get that cheater picto, like, I'm still doing max damage with
right.
her. You know, it's like, I got to get that before it. Anyway, yes, all that. Now we're getting so far into the weeds with this.
We're so geeked out. It's ridiculous.
It is. I want to talk a little bit broader about it, though, on the kind of, like, just the experience of the game, because that's what I think really shy. I love the, like, in the weeds part of it and the strategy with it and that kind of stuff, because that's super fun. But, like, this world and this story are so freaking good.
Yes.
That, like, I just immersed me, and I just didn't get that at all. Like we said before, like, just eating crow for days on this title. I didn't get that at all from any of the stuff that we saw leading up to the release of this game. But once I spent 20 minutes with it, I was like, this is fascinating. And the deeper I get into the game, like, just the more I love this world. It's so cool.
I think the text that I sent you was that it's gripping in a way that most other games are not.
Yes.
Like it's like I feel like I'm playing Alice in Wonderland on an acid trip.
Yeah.
Like that's what it is. It is the world is unbelievable. And
Alice in Wonderland was written on an acid trip, so it makes sense.
And I love the world. I love everything about it.
The characters are so good. The performances are really good.
Oh, the performances are unbelievable. The music is fantastic. The
music is so freaking good. Yeah. Like, it's just a really well-executed package. It's got its rough edges, for sure. Like, it's not a perfect game by any means. And there are things that I don't like about it.
No, Unreal crashes at least twice every time I play it.
Really? I haven't had that issue yet.
It does not crash my machine. My machine's fine, but at least twice every session, it's like, you suck, go away.
That's fair. But the execution of this really interesting world and this really interesting narrative that's just unlike anything I've ever played. We talk about that a lot, that we really love novel experiences because they're so few and far between in gaming anymore, which will be a theme when we talk about Summer Game Fest here a little bit, of how refreshing Expedition 33 is, because a lot of stuff isn't. Like, a lot of stuff just feels like a lot of rehashed ideas, and this just doesn't. There just isn't much like it. It has, like, I feel the influence that Persona has on it, even though I've not played a ton of Persona games. I've played enough to kind of feel that. And like classic turn-based RPGs with this kind of very like just adjacent Souls-like vibe to it, with the dodging and parrying and that kind of stuff. Like, it's definitely not a Souls game, but it has just this little nod toward that world that is interesting.
Right, you will die.
Like, you die a lot.
You die a lot.
Which I appreciate. Like, I think that's really cool. And I also love the idea that you could just run up to enemies that you're way underleveled for and just get wiped and go, oh, not supposed to mess with that dude yet. Just like, there was this one guy just ran, like, he didn't even look like a big world boss. Like, there's some that you're like, you walk up to him, you're like, oh, I'm going to get wiped, but it'll be fun to see what happens. But there's just this random guy I like walked up to, and I was like, okay, bring it. Like, let's go, man. And like, he one hit my entire squad on like one move. And I was like, oh,
That's what happened to me. That's what happened to me with the Chromatic Abyss.
After
Flying Waters. I was like, I knew where that guy was, and I knew what he had, and I was like, I'm just gonna try this, and I got wiped for like an hour and a half, because it's not the kind of wipe, because of the way the game is set up. It's not the kind of wipe where you can't play for a while before you get destroyed.
Yep.
Like, if you're paying attention and you do some dodging and parrying, like, you could theoretically do some of these fights at level 5. It would take you 3 hours, but if you got the mechanics down, you could take some of these lower level.
Yep.
And that's what's interesting about it, because you know you're going to get wiped, but when you get wiped and how you get wiped is totally based on your ability to execute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
Super cool. It's just phenomenal. So we're going to talk about that a ton more, I promise, because we're both way into it. And the fact that I'm already like well into Act 2 makes me think we're going to get through it a little bit quicker than Final Fantasy.
We got to talk about that real quick. The pacing is ridiculous. I we're all of us, I'm talking you, me, and Duff, we're all into Act 2. We haven't been playing it that long. We have other jobs. We have other lives. We have other stuff going on. And we're all in Act 2. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm actually going to finish this game. Yes. Like, I have like 14 other games sitting on my system that I'm halfway through. This one is going to get finished. Yep. And when I finish it, I'm going to buy it off Steam and play New Game Plus because it's that good.
It really is.
It's really good.
I totally agree 100% on everything. I will mention just one thing. I haven't got a chance to really watch much of it, but there was one of the showcases that's happened in the context of Summer Game Fest was discussion about Expedition 33, which included a bunch of the voice cast, not the whole voice cast, but all the main people, including the guy that plays Gustav is, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but the guy that plays Daredevil on the Daredevil.
Oh, wow.
Which it was like, oh, that's cool. Like, I didn't really, like, they brought in like real serious people. Like, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's
a quote indie studio. Like, it's kind of an indie studio, but like they legit did great work with it. So we'll talk about it
a
ton more because we both love it and adore it. And so it's going to be a part of the show. So just prepare yourselves. You got tired of hearing about many other games in the past. This is the next one you're going to get tired of hearing about. So
yep.
All that said, we should talk about Summer Game Fest, because that's theoretically why we're here, at least. Right. And so Summer Game Fest is officially underway. There was a Sony State of Play, which isn't technically part of Summer Game Fest, but happening all at the same time. They have another one scheduled too for next month, I believe. And so
yes.
Sony's doing a little bit in the summer. So we will come back to Sony. We're not talking about Sony right now, but we will come back to them. There's at least one game that we do need to spend some time on there. But Summer Game Fest obviously has lots of games we need to talk about, and just kind of the presentation, all that kind of stuff in general. And so we'll start out with kind of big picture, like presentation thoughts, and then get into some of the games. We're definitely not going to talk about all the games. We kind of talked about this last year with Summer Game Fest, last couple of years. Like, it's just, we can't go game by game on this stuff anymore.
I gotta give Jeff credit though, because at the beginning of the show he said 2 hours, and it was 2 hours yep. on the dot.
The dude knows how to schedule. I will give him that.
Yeah.
He also started a show. I think this is a good place to kind of start the conversation about kind of big picture of the show. He started the show by essentially talking about what the game industry looks like right now. He did that by saying, here are the top 10 games on Steam, which are almost all independent games in one way or another, depending on how you define independent games. Again, there's some wiggle room with that.
Right.
But that so much of the industry right now is really about the kind of not mainstream publishers in the way that we used to talk about them, not EA, not UB, not Activision, not whatever, that are the big names, Blizzard, Activision, whatever, what we grew up thinking of, like, these are the people who make games. Like, they're represented in here as well, and we've got plenty of their games, but that so much of the game industry at this point is these developers that are oftentimes smaller teams, oftentimes doing these on budgets that are not what Rockstar has for Grand Theft Auto or something like that, and how those games can still be successful, which set up the fact that a lot of the games that we saw over the next 2 hours were from publishers or developers that you may not know about unless you're really in the weeds on video game stuff, or some of them, these are their first games that we're seeing kind of brand new stuff happening. And so I appreciate that, because it is a good recognition of where the industry is, and succeeding. Expedition 33 being one of those games that was highlighted because it is selling well and is this, again, kind of semi-indie team. It's hard for me to call them indie with their kind of background and how much kind of resources they had going into it. But still, it's not UB or EA or whatever. The people that have been there but are doing their own thing.
I have to say, the reason that he had to do this is, like I said, I've been doing a lot of research over the last couple of weeks, because when I say this game is different, I really mean it's different. Like, I overstate a lot of stuff on this show. I've overstated a lot of stuff for 20 years. Expedition 33 is different, and that's not an overstatement. And most of what I have seen in the research over the last 2 weeks is that, from different people, this game, not by itself, but in coups with Joseph Ferris and some of the other people that have had huge successes with small teams and small budgets, is really changing things. Like, the AAA developers that we grew up with that you just talked about are going, what do we do? You know, like they're trying to figure out, how can we capitalize on this? Because I actually saw a quote, and I hesitate to say it here because I don't know who said it, but, like, you know, essentially it was like somebody said, these games are great, but I don't remember how he said it. These games are great, but they're still just, you know, indie developers, essentially, and they don't have the resources that you were just talking about. And my issue with that, and what I heard around the internet, was like, look, the problem that these guys are having is that anybody can make a game now, right? So you don't have to be Capcom, you don't have to be whoever, anybody can make a game. And if you and I had talent at all, right. we could make a game. Like, yes. that's where it is. And it's changing the industry.
Yeah,
it is.
For sure.
And
100%.
It has been for a while now.
Yeah, that's not a new thing, but it is an ever-growing thing in the industry today. Looks like it does because of that access, as does like every industry, like to be honest with you, like we see this across all entertainment. So all that said, the rest of the show, the way it kind of played out was fine. I don't know. Like, it didn't blow my socks off. Like, that was kind of thing. We'll get into announcements and that kind of stuff. There's a couple big games that were mentioned here. One really big one at the end. But like, like, I appreciated the like, so many of these games come from indie developers. And then we see a whole bunch of games and I go, yeah, that kind of looks like it, you know, like right. I don't mean that in a pejorative, I'm saying it in a pejorative way there. Like, I love indie games. Like, I play more indie games than I play anything else. Sometimes there's also just games that look pretty generic. And I thought a lot of the stuff that we saw was just kind of generic, with the exceptions of like a bunch of stuff. There was a bunch of stuff that looked pretty cool in here, but a bunch of stuff also felt just like, kind of rehashed.
Just as an example, and this is not an indie game, so I'm not smashing any games, but when they got to that Jurassic Park title, right.
Yeah,
I can't remember the name of it, but I saw that and I was like, why is this here?
Yeah
Why this looks like it's from 2000. Why is this here?
Yeah, I agree, and I love Jurassic Park. The idea of like running your own Jurassic Park, like in like theory, sounds super cool to me, but like I played that game once and I was like, oh, this isn't for me, this is not that much fun. Like, it just wasn't great, and so yeah, agreed. So all that said, we'll talk about some of the specific games, and I'm just gonna kind of go through from like top to bottom, right. But skipping a whole bunch of stuff, unless you I'll mention some just in case you want to say anything about them.
Right.
So, Mortal Shell 2, anything about Mortal Shell 2?
I mean, it looks great. It looks interesting. But otherwise, no.
Can't see myself ever playing it. Star Wars is coming to Fortnite, which makes me like Fortnite not anymore, and Star Wars maybe a little less. I don't know. Like, it just isn't my thing, obviously.
No.
For years, but no. It's cool. Whatever. I love Star Wars. So whatever. Andor is fantastic, by the way.
You know what? I haven't even seen that. I haven't seen Andor, and I haven't seen what's the one, The Apprentice. I haven't seen either of those.
I haven't seen that one, but the Andor's fantastic. So couldn't recommend that more. Couldn't care less about Star Wars and Fortnite. Kojima came out. That's always fun. We like seeing Kojima. So came out and talked about Death Stranding 2 on the beach, and showed a little clip. This is a game we've talked about, that the first one we did actually get back into and play through, or at least like figure out enough of what's going on.
Well, I may have seen you a text and told you I downloaded it during his presentation because I was like, I don't know if Tommy's going to stream the rest of this game, but we have to. One of us has to play more.
We really do. And we got to play the second one.
And so, like, it's downloaded. It's on my system. That's one of those I would prefer that you stream it so that we could talk about it. But I am going to make an effort. I feel so bad for Duff because Duff and I have had a discussion over the last couple of weeks. He's a one game at a time guy.
Yeah.
And like, he's like, you gotta play this, you gotta play this, you gotta play this. And I told him this morning that I finally downloaded Death Stranding, which he asked me to do. And his next question was, so you finished Expedition 33? And I was like, no, dude, I have not at all. And the discussion that we have is like, it's impossible for you and I to host this show and even remotely do what we need to do, which we don't do nearly enough of, and go one game at a time. It's not possible. And so I do, I feel bad. Like, we should have already finished this. And honestly, I forgot that it's coming out in a month.
Yeah.
Like, I saw that and I went, oh, that's not good.
Yeah. Oh, we'll be plenty into Expedition 33 still, but this is a game I almost guarantee, because we've played a chunk of the first one,
right,
that I'm going to do a little like catch-up video to dive into. Like, it's going to be like a two-hour catch-up video, because to try to explain Death Stranding, you can't do that in like 15 minutes. So, sorry, that's my baby monitor. I mentioned beforehand, yes. Bourbon in one hand and baby monitor in the other hand. The battery's dying on the baby monitor, so that's cool. Something to look forward to. He seems like he's asleep enough. We'll go with that. So, fun times over here.
That's what that is.
Couldn't be stereotyped more clearly than that. So, anyway, we will definitely play Death Stranding 2. Would love to play a little bit more of Death Stranding 1, even if that's not likely. We'll see what happens. So, Chronicles Medieval, if you need a medieval, I love the idea of it, but just not a game. Is it Sonic Racing Cross Worlds?
No.
I'm a Mario Kart guy. The Minecraft tie-in obviously doesn't appeal to us, but it's cool that they have a Minecraft tie-in. Like, that's going to be a big deal for a lot of people, so.
And they were actively trying to install Mario Kart. Like,
unlike, they were.
Unlike that other game we have crossed.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm still a Mario Kart guy, so you're not going to get me there. By the way, just had to mention this because I was like, hey, wonder what Mario Kart's Metacritic score is. 90 at this point. Mario Kart World just released it. The Switch 2 is out. We haven't talked about that yet. Don't have one yet. We'll get one soon enough. But Mario Kart's apparently good, so that's a good thing.
Probably not going to be a
90.
I have to say this because I'm like at this point on the show, I'm like Charles Barkley and I'm like right 20% of the time. So I have to say that it was confirmed during Summer Game Fast what I said earlier on the show, which was that what I said was that Expedition 33 had the highest Metacritic score ever recorded. What I should have said was that it has the highest user Metacritic score ever recorded.
Interesting.
There's no other game on Metacritic that has a higher score than Expedition 33 as far as users are concerned.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Let's see here. Code Vein 2. End of Abyss.
Yes.
That was interesting.
It was very, very.
It's kind of top down, real dark, kind of horror-ish.
Creepy
thing.
Baby.
Yeah. Creepy
baby.
Good. Yeah. Worth a look. I don't know that it's something I'm going to put a lot of time into, but
what it is, it's a Game Pass game.
Yes.
What it is.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is the Xbox showcase tomorrow. We'll see a bunch of Game Pass games at that point. I love if Expedition 33 was a Game Pass, it's worth the purchase. We've already talked about that. But man, the fact that that's on Game Pass has like made my Game Pass worth it for the whole year, right? Like, just even though it's way more than it's one game of like a year subscription of Game Pass, like Expedition 33 makes me go, oh yeah, Game Pass is a no-brainer. Like, I knew that already, but like when you get such a good game as that and it's just there and ready for you, like just amazing.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah, we're going to just talk about Expedition 33 the whole time through this.
I have to ask you on the Game Pass thing, as because I had the same thought. Like, it's so cool that it's a Game Pass game. Do you think they're going to leave it there? Because that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that I'm going to get into Act 3 and it's going to get pulled. And then I might have to go buy it on Steam. And you know.
I don't think it's getting pulled anytime soon. I think we've got a year or two pretty safely with it before then, because people would get pissed. Because like, it's going to take some time to get it. I mean, it's an RPG. It's not something you get through overnight. And so I would be really surprised if they pull it that quickly. They're going to pull it eventually, because they pull everything eventually. But I just, with the success of it especially, I just can't imagine them pulling it anytime relatively soon. So I think we got it for a while, hopefully.
Good.
That's the thing with Game Pass for sure. You never know. Which pros and cons. But right now, the big pro is you get Expedition 33 as part of it, which is great. Mouse, PI for Hire. This is super cool. I love this so much.
mainly because we're cartoon guys.
Yes.
And we're Sam and Max guys. And
yes.
And like this reeks of that.
It's Sam and Max meets Steamboat Willie, like just really, yes. really, really classic Disney kind of cartoon style. And Troy Baker's voicing it, which is cool, like a nice added bonus because he's great.
And
just fantastic. Yeah. Like just looks really, really cool.
Jeff was hilarious because he was like, oh, another job for Troy.
Right. Like that guy is hurting for anything. But yeah, for sure. It looks super cool. And it's just the style of it. The first person kind of aspect of it, because like everything they showed looks like it plays as first person.
Right.
I'm not quite sure of. It feels a little bit like Indiana Jones to me that I'm still yeah. to this day not sold on it being a first person game, which coincidentally also voiced by Troy Baker. Not that that has anything to do with it, but just a random aside there. But like just that part of it, I'm not sure about. Everything else about it, the aesthetic, the black and white, the kind of noir feel to
yes,
it.
Yes, it's like, great.
It's great. It's so cool. So I'm looking forward to that one. Game of Thrones, War for Westeros.
No. Yeah. No.
I like how no. fast you were on that. Can I be honest of like I am so like just burned out on Game of Thrones. Like I haven't had any desire to watch any of like
I have not seen House of the Dragon. I have not seen it 1 minute.
I didn't finish Game of Thrones. Like I know what happens. But I didn't finish the series. I don't know why I lost interest in it, but I just lost interest in it. And it's like The Walking Dead that I love so much, but it just never finished because it just kind of
Dude.
For me.
When I downloaded Death Stranding today, I looked in my Epic library, which is massive. Now. Right. It's insane. And I have The Walking Dead Season 5, which we absolutely need to play.
Yes.
Like, I don't care if we ever finish the TV series.
Yep.
But we have to finish that.
The games are so good.
I also have Michonne in there.
Yeah.
Which we need to play. So I'm right there with you. Here's what I will say about that. I mean, I don't know that Game of Thrones is any worse than The Last of Us at this point.
Yeah, that's something else we need to talk about.
But I mean, I'm with you. I'm done. Like, they have another show that I'm really interested in that I've been meaning to ask you. If you started watching called Duster,
no,
which is a 1970s detective, it's got a car, it's got like a Challenger, and I'm really like, it looks really cool, but I haven't started it yet.
Yeah, yeah, I'm gonna have to check that one out. I don't know anything about that one, so
yeah.
Atomic Heart 2. I know Sam is excited about this one. Go over to the Discord. By the way, because we're so out of practice, just dawned on me. GamingUncensored.com. Go by over there.
It sucks right now.
It does suck right now. Go by over there and then don't judge us too harshly because it's really hideous. But while you are there, thanks to the Patreon guys, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam. Coming back to you, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, Jordan, Gio, and Derek. Thank you guys for your support. I would say go to GamingUncensored.com and click on that Patreon link, but it's not there. So just go to Patreon and find us there if you'd like to support us, because the whole thing's about we're getting worked on. We promise. We'll get there. It has been a long month. I don't know if we've mentioned that, but it's been a long month. So
look, I gotta say this, y'all, and we say this a lot. He and I both really need a vacation where we can just be together for just a few days and drink and do other things and not think about life. That's where we're at. Yes. So we're sorry for the suckiness of the website. We're sorry that the show was on hiatus for a month. Yeah. We're hanging on by our fingernails.
We really are. All of that said, go by GamingUncensored.com still, because the Discord link over there still works. And so you can hop on our Discord, which is where Sam let us know that he is excited about Atomic Hearts 2. The aesthetic is
I am
cool.
excited about it. I mean, like, I'm not going to play it, but... Right.
That's kind of where I am, too. But, like, it looks cool. It's the aesthetic is so cool. Oh, and it, like, screams Sam to me.
Can I tell you, I just found this yesterday. It's Summer Game Fest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I hate commercials during Summer Game Fest.
Uh-huh,
so I was
uh-huh.
like, am I going to pay for YouTube Premium? Am I going to pay for a year? Am I going to cheap out and go for a month? And like, I tried to pay for a year twice, and I was like, no, I can't do it. And so I started digging around the internet. YouTube just rolled out a premium light that does not give you YouTube Music. It does not give you the downloads, but it gives you most videos commercial free
nice.
For like $8 a month. And okay. that is totally reasonable. So I just got to plug that because I think that's awesome. Thank you, Google, for doing something that makes sense.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Related to Atomic Heart 2 was The Cube, which is an MMO that takes place in the same kind of universe. The premise of which looked kind of cool, like the cube that's like rotating in these three pieces and changing stuff and like all that. Like the fact that it's an MMO doesn't really interest me, but like the idea actually kind of piqued my interest a little bit.
So the reason I brought up the YouTube, I didn't finish my thought. My thought was both The Cube and Atomic Heart are both games that I'm going to look up on YouTube and watch a chunk of. Because I'm learning that that's a really good way to get through some stuff that I'm not going to touch.
Yeah, I think that's fair. We've become, or at least you've become, I've not quite gotten there yet, but I'm closer. People that watch people play games, as much as we've
talked
about.
Yeah, I don't love it.
But it is handy. It is convenient. There is something to be said about it for sure. Marvel Cosmic Invasion is a game I didn't know about because I'm living under a rock right now for video game stuff a lot. But apparently this is a known thing. But it's like a side scroller beat 'em up with Marvel characters.
I'm all over it.
All over it. Looks super fun. And so this was two new characters, which was Rocket Raccoon and She-Hulk. Captain America and Venom had already been announced, and we'll see obviously tons more into the future. But yeah, dig it. Super cool. Not opposed to that at all.
Can I say that there were, apparently they were catering to old guys because there's like three of these in the showcase.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about all of them because I sent you texts on all of them.
Yeah.
We have to, because it must be a nostalgia thing. Because
yes, for sure.
I'm just looking at them going, we have to play these.
Yep. Agreed. Onimusha, we got some more there. We love Onimusha. We've talked about that a ton. Nothing wrong with Onimusha. This one I really like. It's so random, which is Felt That Boxing. Which looks so freaking cool. This is the puppets, the boxing puppets.
Right.
It's Mike Tyson's Punch Out with puppets. And I just can't get enough of this. Like, I don't know what it is about this game.
And
but I was like, the first time I saw it, I was like, that is brilliant.
I'm laughing because you and Jeff are just so pumped about this.
Yeah. And he was pumped about it too.
It's like, okay, I want this to be good. I hope it's good. I hope it's funny. I hope I laugh out loud.
Yes.
But I'm not holding my breath.
That's fair. I get you. But the idea is so brilliant. Like, that's going to carry me at least part of the way. Like, it may suck and I may not put any time into it ever. But, like, the idea is just so cool of, like, these vulgar, like, Sesame Street-looking puppets, like, playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, essentially. Like, that's really what it looked like when they got to the actual gameplay. Like, I'm like, what is this? I'm totally in for it.
Let me just specify again, ladies and gentlemen, that Tommy really needs an outlet right now. This might be it.
Puppet boxing may be exactly what I need in life right now, yes. It very well could be, so... but that may be why it appealed to me, but something about it really appealed to me. So there we go. Killer Inn is like Among Us, but like really intense, apparently, like murder mystery thing, which again, I love the concept of. I have not spent a single second playing Among Us, and this kind of its moments passed.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Because neither one of us has played it. And
I know
it's horrible because I know it's great.
Yeah. this looks kind of like that, but like grown up, at least in a way, like Square Enix version of it, which is an interesting idea. But like, I would love to say I will give this some time. I doubt I will, but it may be one of those that's like, hey, let me pull this up on YouTube just to see how this works for a little bit. Cause like it may be good enough to do a little bit of that and go, hey, that was a really cool idea that I'll never play, but I'm glad I know it's out there.
And I'm telling you, the commercial for YouTube is great for that. Like it makes research for this show so much easier. Yeah. Look, otherwise, we just really need to quit this show because we don't play enough games. So I'm doing everything I can at this point.
That's fair. Arc Raiders.
No.
Third person PvEVP extraction shooter is not words that make me excited about a game. If you're into that, awesome. That's not like I see that. I go, oh, no. Keep moving. It's just not for me. Dune. That's just
okay.
I love Dune. Dune's a great world.
I read 6 of the Dune books. I love Dune. If you know anything about Dune, they're like 600 pages each. Yeah. They're like, I love that series. I'm not touching this.
Nah.
I don't want this.
Yep. With you there. Chrono Odyssey and MMO also.
No.
No, Wuthering Waves. We're getting into that part of the show. Mio. I will mention this one really quick. This one scratches an itch for me because it's a Metroidvania and I just love them. Memories in Orbit is what it's Mio stands for, I guess. I don't know. I don't know anything about what's going on in this game. But at one point in the trailer, it pauses and shows a map. And I went, Metroid. That's Metroid. I love it. I'm in. You know, like obviously the gameplay and everything also feels very Metroid with boss fights and that kind of stuff. But it just so much had like a Metroid map to it. I was like, okay, you got me. Yeah, that's all I needed to see was like your map. And I'm like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Out of Words, this one was really interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
This, like handcrafted style. And I don't really get it. It feels like.
I'll tell you what it is. As a crippled guy who's slouching in his wheelchair right now, that's how crippled I am. It feels like there's going to be some sort of disability message in here or some sort of like social message.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like. And I'm down for that.
Yeah. It as long as they execute, and that's a big if in any, like anytime you see one of these like things kind of that feels this way. But it just has such a cool aesthetic to it. I think it's like a co-op thing, right? Like it takes
it's
two.
Like a split fiction. Yeah.
Like it has that.
Which, kind by of, the way, we have to.
We play. Definitely have to play split fiction. We're gonna get that sometime. But again, this like claymation, almost like aesthetic. I don't know how to explain. It's super cool. Go check it out because it's super cool. Mafia: The Old Country. We've seen Lego Voyagers. I was not expecting to be taken by a Lego game. But this actually looked pretty cool to me. It's like this like kind of building journey thing. I don't know that I'll ever give it the time of day.
Dude, but you have kids.
Yeah.
I knew in the first 20 seconds. I was like, yeah, he'd be all over this. He got kids.
Yeah. Like, that one feels like it fits in a way that other Lego games haven't spoken to me.
I think it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I
me
really
too.
Do.
Nicktoons and the Dice of Destiny. As a kid that grew up on like OG Nicktoons, like Doug and Ren and Stimpy, and that got like that's not what this is.
No,
as much, which is a bummer to me because if it was those characters, I might be a little bit more interested on nostalgia. Doug. But yeah. Doug was my jam when I was a kid, man. I loved Doug and Skeeter. Wasn't it Skeeter? That was his blue.
Doug and Skeeter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Patty Mayonnaise. Like.
Yep.
Doug was my thing, man. I love that show. That was good times. Rugrats was good. Tommy, obviously. Chucky, you know, good time. Anyway. Lies of P has a prequel DLC out
now. We need to play Lies of P so bad.
Apparently it's very good. I just saw, I was looking at Metacritic scores. Lies of P Overture has an 82 already out. You can go play it right now.
Wow. So
not bad. Again, try to get through these quickly. Fractured Blooms, which was like I'm with you. Horror kind of meets, kind of almost cutesy thing. I don't know. Blade and Soul, Neo Heroes, like that's a thing that if you know it, I guess you're into it. I don't know.
Right.
Was it my thing? Crystal of a Latin X One Punch Man?
No. Yep.
Okay. The Seven Deadly Sins Origin. Okay. Where did that part of the show? Unreal Highlight Engine. Jurassic Park. There's Jurassic Park.
Right.
Jurassic World Evolution. Mina the Hollower. This one looked kind of cool. This is from the developers that did Shovel Knight.
Right.
Very Zelda aesthetic with it. Zelda kind of feel to it, which I really dug. It looks like a really hard Zelda, which I don't know that I'd be great at. Playing Expedition 33 has reminded me how not good I am at hard games, because it's hard enough. I mean, it's not a hard game, but like the timing stuff that you have to do with dodging and parrying.
I mean, like, kind
of suck at gaming, really. Like, I'm just not a good gamer.
It's really hard. And what has annoyed me, and it's kind of a Dark Souls thing, and I'm going to put this out here because Cabbage is listening, and so maybe he will come on and school us about this. Yeah. But what has annoyed me, because I went on the YouTube and watched hours of video about how to figure out the dodging and parrying, and is it audio cues, is it visual cues? I have watched hours of video, and every single one of them says, just do this,
yep,
and you'll get used to it, and it'll be fine. And that's not how it works at all. Like, I found a Reddit post that this guy swears that the dodges and parries work based on the rhythm of the music. I don't know if I sent you that post, but he was like, this is an ex-Ubisoft team. He was like, they made another game like this, and it's all about the beats of the music, and that's how you do the dodge and parry. Long story short, nobody knows how it works. Nobody knows when to hit the button. It's really hard, and there's a large part of me that really doesn't like it.
Yeah.
But there's also a large part of me that's like, okay, yeah, this is kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's such a, okay, well, like I said, we're just going to get back on Expedition 33 every minute or so. So be prepared. But it's really fun because, like, different builds just, like, play. So, like, I have Verso with a Picto that, like, he gets AP if he gets hit. So
right,
like,
I've got that AP, but I love that. I've got that Picto, but I haven't figured out where to use it yet.
Yeah, I just have it on Verso because I'm just going to miss it. Like, I'm going to miss it at least once. And so you're going to get an AP when I miss it. And so that's great. Like, I don't even care, you know. And just like having my stats where you could survive getting hit from most normal characters, you kind of figure it out. And then, like, you feel really accomplished when you get a dodge or when you get a parry. And you're like, okay, that was cool.
The parry, it feels so good. I've done it like six times total in like 50 hours. But yeah, when you do, you feel like you've really done something.
If you haven't got it yet, there's very, very soon you'll get to where there's a different kind of parry that you have to
with
do.
The jump.
The jump ones are their own thing too. The jump ones I find to be the easiest because you get the big indicator on screen, which is nice. I like that.
But you have to jump, and then you have to hit the other counterattack button, which I always miss the other button. Like, I can get the jump, but I always miss the other button.
That's fair. But there's another one that's like a super attack that the enemy does. And like, the screen kind of goes gray to indicate that you're about to get this. And it's a different button that you have to hit for that parry. And you can't dodge it. You can only parry it. And if you get hit by it, it's like a big attack, dead. You know.
Yeah.
But if you parry it, you do a lot of damage. And it's just like every time that happens, I'm like, oh, what button was it? What button was it? I'm just like hitting every button on the controller. It's just, oh, yeah. That's how bad of a gamer I am at this point.
It's not good. And I say all of this to say, and I should not admit this on the air, but I'm having this much trouble having downloaded a mod. I went to Nexus and I was like, I gotta find a mod to slow this down, or I'm just gonna get destroyed. This is with a mod.
Yeah.
and I still suck at it.
No shame.
And honestly, I think I figured it out. They will never do it, but I'm tempted to send them an email. If the parry timing was as forgiving as the dodge timing, I would be okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get every perfect dodge, but I get enough perfect dodges.
Yeah.
And they're not going to change that, but like, that would be my ideal fix, but that's because I'm a bad gamer.
Yes.
With no reflexes.
Yeah. 100%. So, I'm with you there. So, anyway, back to Summer Game Fest. We'll get back to Expedition 33 in a minute. I promise. It worked all the time. Deadpool VR. I don't care. Yeah. Dying Light, the Beast. Dying Light, apparently very good.
We really need to play Dying. We never will, but we really need to play Dying Light.
One that I think we are going to play, though, because it popped up before, and this is just right our wheelhouse, is Mixtape.
Yes.
We saw this last year, I think. We saw it again. It's just music and video gaming. And
like, the way that we grew up.
The way that we grew up is all like in the 90s.
Did you see the shot with the dude in the video store going through the video store? I was like, we're playing this.
This is just it's pure nostalgia for us. It could suck to high heaven and we're still
gonna
play it.
We don't care.
Towa and the Guardian of the Sacred Tree. I don't remember this one. If you remember that one.
It's near the end of the show. That one was.
We're getting closer to the end.
Jeff made a big deal about that one. Yeah.
I'm sure there is a big deal to be made about it. It's just there's so much saturation in gaming now that you just can't possibly keep up with it all, which is great. I love that about video games, but that's not what I care about. Axe of Blood, this is what you texted me about.
Yes.
Because it looks pretty cool, so I'll let you talk about it a little bit.
It's that beat 'em up thing, but it's a grown-up version of a beat 'em up. Lots of blood and guts and swords and pipes and various things.
Throat ripping at one point. I think I saw some throat ripping in there. Like,
this is one that you want to play when the kids are out of the house.
For sure.
But we're absolutely going to play it.
Looks really cool. It kind of reminded me of Sifu, which is a game I haven't played.
Yeah.
But enough of like it kind of had that vibe to it. I don't know if the gameplay is any way similar. But like that's just immediately what I thought of when I saw it, but also has some like supernatural elements to it, and I don't know what else, but look cool. The guy with the chainsaw seemed fun. Like that seemed like it would be a fun fight. And so look like a good time. Scott Pilgrim EX.
Scott Pilgrim was a big deal when we started this show.
Yep. I have not spent enough time with Scott Pilgrim to be like enough excited about this. And yet I was still like, that looks cool. I have a buddy that loves Scott Pilgrim. And so he's not a big gamer, but I'm going to kind of see like mention this to him and say, hey, is this something that you're going to pick up? Cause I
right.
know
you love yeah. Yeah.
Let's see here. What else? Scum.
Dude. Yeah. Okay. Can we, and Sam, I'm going to try and make Sam submit a voicemail right here, right now, because he's going to throw a fit when I say what I'm about to say. But I love video game violence, right?
Yeah.
I love it. I think you do because you're a passive human and it's your only outlet.
Yes.
And so I love video game violence, but I'm getting to the point with video game violence, like this is too much.
Yeah.
Like I that creepy baby that we talked about
40
minutes ago, like no. Okay. And the reason that I'm saying all of this is that I know that there are guys out there that this is their jam. Sam is one of those guys. He's talked to us about Callisto Protocol. I I just, it's being grotesque for being grotesque sake.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I guess I'm getting old. I feel like I'm saying get off my lawn, but like, I don't need this. I mean, what are your thoughts?
I generally agree. I obviously don't hate violence in video games. I play a lot of violent video games. But the kind of just gratuitous over the top, if that's all you're selling me, like, that's not something I'm super interested in. And I'll take that even one step further, that I saw a couple times. I can't even tell you off the top of my head of what trailers they were. But there were a couple of trailers that were like very buxom women zipping up a
gym. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
I see what you're trying to do, and I don't like begrudge your effort here, but man, it's just cringe. Like, it just.
Ugh. Well, I mean, look.
There was one, like, she got on a motorcycle, and there's like jiggle happening. And I'm like, that's not even like physically real. Like, that's, you know, anyway, it just, I was like, that just turned me off from this game so much. Like, I can't even tell you. So,
I spent it's really interesting because I spent 2 days, well, most of yesterday, playing around with a new AI bot that is designed to provide companionship, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's one of these AI systems where you like pick a character, or you can make a character. It's really cool. Like, you can make, I have a friend, the guy that showed it to me made an archaeologist, and like, and it turned out to be Indiana Jones's daughter. That's what the system told him. That's the story that it wrote after he made this character. And they went to Egypt and they did all kinds of stuff. And it was like, it's really cool. You got to check it out. So I go on the website, and he told me that there are a lot of people on there, you know, using it. There are a lot of 15-year-old boys using it for the things that 15-year-old boys use.
Sure.
So me being who I am, finds one of those bots that I know that is very obvious what it's designed for, and start talking to it about Jesus and the Bible and like my belief in God. And amazingly, it held up for like 40 minutes. I was loving it. Like, we're having this really deep conversation. And when it broke was when I shifted and asked it to do what it was designed for, which was to be gratuitously sexual.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, this doesn't work. And that's what the bot is designed to be, and it sucked at it.
Yeah.
Right? And so going back to what you just said, I think it has to be an age thing, because I'm not opposed to that stuff if you do it the right way. There's a right way to do it. Like you could have a game, and I can't believe I'm about to say this because I sound like such an old man. You could have a game with tasteful nudity or tasteful sex, and I'm fine.
Yeah.
Like, that's great. That's awesome. We like it, but you got to do it right.
Yes. Like, sexuality is a part of human existence.
Yes.
Romance is a part of human existence.
Yes.
To tell stories in any medium that don't include those elements is missing part of being a human. Like, that just, like, that's part of being a human. There are really good ways to do that. There are examples of games, like you said, that we could talk about that do that well. And there are plenty of examples of games that do that really poorly. And when you are trying to sell me on a game by showing me like a semi-naked woman zipping up a jumpsuit, look how big her breasts are here. Like, maybe it is an age thing,
That's my thing. I'm fine with you showing me that same naked woman with a purpose.
Yes.
But if it's in the game for a purpose, there's a reason that it's there. There's a story element. There's a romantic beat. There's a relationship thing. Like, that's another thing that Expedition 33 has, is the relationship thing. And I'm interested to see how that works and where that goes or whatever.
Yeah.
You could, as far as I'm concerned, if my mom is going to keel over if she hears this. But if it's done the right way, you can do whatever you want. Like, I got no problem. But if you're just putting it in my face, that's when I got a problem.
Yep. I'm with you there. And if that's what you're selling me on, when you've got like a minute, you got 60 seconds to sell me on your game, and you're going to show me like three shots of gratuitous violence or gratuitous sexuality to sell me why I should play your game, it tells me that your game probably doesn't have very much that is going to interest me narrative wise, right? And again, maybe like, I don't have, like, let me be clear. I even want to make sure I'm not saying this in like a all games that don't have great story suck, because there are plenty of games that I've played that don't have great stories that I really enjoy for gameplay or whatever.
Let's throw God of War in there. God of War is great. Yeah. God of War has all of that, and we're fine.
Yes, but, and let me say this, what God of War did so well in this kind of Entendre. New version of it, reboot, is it got away from some of that stuff. Like, there may be naked characters that showed up in the two most recent God of Wars, but I don't remember them. Like, I can't tell you off the top of my head that there were, but it was such a gratuitous part of the early games that they just made sure that they had some nudity in there to be edgy that always felt like super cringe, right? And they got away from that in like the new versions of God of War, which to me is great because the narrative, the storytelling in the two most recent God of War games just infinitely better than what the early games were. The early games were fun because the gameplay was fun. The new games are fun because the gameplay is fun, but they also have really good narratives. And those first games didn't have that nearly to the same extent. And so you don't have to rely on like gratuitousness, which it still has plenty of gratuitous violence. Like, I love the gratuitous violence in God of War.
Look,
but the gratuitous violence goes along with really good gameplay and really good narrative. And that's more important to me.
And it depends on where it is, because Evie wrote a, I've never said this on the air, but Evie has like 8 books on Amazon. And she hands me a new one the other day. And it's a love story. And so in this story, she doesn't do anything that's really visual. But in this story, if that were to be written, I'd be all over that. If those scenes were in there, I would be all over that, because it's a love story between two people. It's where it is and how you present it. That's what it is.
Yeah, for sure. Moving through some of these really quick. Again, we've got limited time and lots of games. Mind's Eye, we got to talk about. Mind's Eye looks super cool from IO. And Build a Rocket Boy, which was a developer I was familiar with, but it's from some former GTA devs. So should have a kind of GTA vibe to it. Looks really cool. They showcase that like Hitman tie-in, that there's Agent 47 showing up here. I was kind of actually disappointed by that, if that makes sense, insofar as I kind of want this game to stand on its own. I don't want it to have to rely on Hitman.
Well, in their defense, he's also showing up in Bond. So
yes, that they're doing a new Hitman mission, whatever DLC. I don't know what you call them at this point, but that is based on Bond, and they had Mads Mikkelsen come out, which is cool. Agent 47, like, Hitman's fine. Agent 47 is a character that like gets me excited about anything. Hitman's fun gameplay, but like Mind's Eye stands alone to me as like a really cool looking game. Like, I really like was watching it going, oh, I dig awesome. This looks very cool. Lego Party, if you needed Mario Party but for Legos, there you go. Wild Gate is a team shooter, so I moved on very quickly from that. Blighted, I actually saw more of this one. I watched a little bit of the Day of the Dev stuff. I need to go back and watch more of the Day of the Devs.
I didn't watch any at all. I need to do that.
Yeah, something we'll catch up on and talk about later. But I did see a little bit of Blighted at Day of the Devs, which showed a lot more than what we saw in the Summer Game Fest. Very kind of Hades feel to this, which was kind of cool. And so I don't know it's one that I'll give any time to, but because it feels kind of like Hades has a chance.
Yes.
I'm looking here, Mecha Break. Meh.
No.
Infinitesimals.
Okay, this interests me because, again, nostalgia, and I saw this and I was like, ooh, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yes. Yeah. Like, because that's how old we are. When we see shrunken things, it's immediately Honey, I Shrunk the Kids that pops to mind. Which for anybody that's under the age of 40 that's listening to the show, it's like, what are you talking about? Rick Moranis, go find Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah. Amazing.
But yeah, I'm with you. That's exactly. It's like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, but like super intense fighting like mutant bugs and stuff. I don't know, but I don't know that I get into it. Like I tried. What was that one that came out recently that was like more cartoonish than this, but was one where you get shrunken or like I think it was called like Shrunken or I don't remember what it was called. I don't know. But anyway, I tried a little bit of it and just didn't capture me. This feels kind of that same way that I get the vibe. If I tried it, it would not capture me, but maybe you never know. So yeah. Street Fighter VI got a little bit more of that last flag.
I hate that I can't play these games because they look so good. And I have to say the same thing about Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat at this point looks so good, and I so want to play it, but I'm not good.
I'm not either, and that really makes it not fun. Not being good at it makes it not fun to me. As a like my like 12-year-old self, if he could see what Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat was today,
dude,
like
we would have a stroke.
Yeah, it would be wild. But it my 41-year-old self looks at him and goes, okay. You know, like, just not my thing. I've moved on from fighting games and you know, like, I still love, like, seeing it. I'm like, oh, yeah, look, Street Fighter, that's cool. But
but it's weird because I agree with you 100%, but all of these side-scrollers I want to play.
Yeah.
All of the other ones that we
You're absolutely right.
About, like,
those kind of beat-em-ups look super cool. Fighting games don't, but I don't know what that disconnect it is because I suck at them. Like I'm sure that's it. Like at the end of the day, like that's the reason why, but just not my thing. Last Flag, a capture the flag game. It's a shooter. That's fine. Wu Chang Fallen Feathers, Chinese developed, kind of because the names sound familiar or sound similar in my head, Wukong and Wuchang, but it kind of had that vibe to me. It was like Souls adjacent kind of thing.
See, I totally read that wrong. I thought he said Wu-Tang.
That's the next one. Like, because there's Wu Chang and then there's Wu Tang that happened right after it, which we're getting to.
Which I'm really excited about because, again, we're old guys.
Yes, as old men, as 40-year-olds, Wu Tang, Rise of the Deceiver was something I did not expect in the slightest. It was like, I'm in for that. Like, that looks great. I don't know what it is. We saw so little gameplay, but the little bit of gameplay that we saw, I was like, okay. I'm in.
It's
like,
got music too, and
that's more important. And you got me. Like we grew up with Wu-Tang. Like, apparently, it does look like you'll be able to recruit members of Wu-Tang Clan as some aspect of this game, and you got to go like find them and rescue them. I don't know what's going on, but it looks interesting. There is. I watched this a little bit of IGN did a sit down with a couple of people from the studio that's doing it. They didn't learn much in that, you know, a couple minutes I saw of that. But it does look interesting, and Wu-Tang's a big deal, so why not?
Absolutely.
Guild Wars 2.
I wish we had played Guild Wars 2. I really do. Like, how much money did we spend playing World of Warcraft?
Right.
Still be playing Guild Wars 2 for free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%. Into the Unwell, it's kind of like the mouse PI thing, right? But
right.
Like slightly different. It had a little bit more of a Cuphead vibe to me, which we loved Cuphead. It's not like a side scroller, like whatever, but I just had a little bit more of that aesthetic
it's
to me, but
creepy,
very cartoony, very, yes, more creepy than Cuphead is. Splitgate 2 is a shooter that the dev came out and said something about doesn't want to be another Call of Duty, wishes for Titanfall 3, loved Halo, and it showed something to me that went, oh yeah, it just looks like another shooter to me, which I'm not a shooter person. I don't play a lot of shooter games. And so, like, I could be completely wrong, and I hope nothing but the best of success for them or whatever. But I just was like, ah, that doesn't look any different than the other games out there to me. So I don't know.
I just, there are people that love these things.
Yeah.
And we're not those guys.
We're just not. We used to be. And the kind of rundown I'm looking at here mentions Quake as, you know, like a reference point, an inspiration for this. We love Quake. I love the original Unreal Tournament. It was one of my favorite shooters when I was young, but it's just not there anymore. So
nope.
Last two games. We are almost there. Stranger Than Heaven, which is from the Like a Dragon, Yakuza team.
I like this because it's like 1943
Japanese detective kind of thing. Kind of has a cool vibe to it. I'm not going to speak for you, but I think that's probably true for you too. I personally have spent zero time in Yakuza.
Agreed. Yeah, I've not ever touched it, but this I would play. Like,
this looks kind of cool. Yeah, I can see myself actually picking this one up. And like, people love those titles. So, like, not saying anything bad against them, like, just never been the thing that's appealed to us. But Stranger Than Heaven kind of looks cool. Like, we might have to check it out.
Right.
And then the last big thing, we got, you know, that one last big thing here, is Resident Evil Requiem, i.e. Resident Evil 9. So we've got official new numbered Resident Evil coming. Showed a little tease for it. Didn't show like any gameplay or really details on that kind of stuff other than Jeff saying it's going to be different, changing things up. We don't know exactly what that means at this point. Very pretty. Dug that. Very pretty, okay, but don't know much about it.
I've made a decision that I'm not talking to you about. I made a decision that affects the rest of our lives and potentially affects your retirement because I decided a while back that I haven't played any of the new Resident Evil and I'm not going to play them until we're in a room together on a regular basis. Because that needs to be a you and me thing.
Yes.
And so I'm just going to ignore all of it until we either retire or die.
Yeah.
Because the only time that we're going to get super excited about these titles, which are fabulous, by the way, Resident Evil 7, Resident Evil 8, now Resident Evil 9 looks good. They're great. I know they're great. I know they would have us, but I'm not playing them until we're sitting in a room together with like multiple bottles of bourbon.
Yep.
And that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know how, if you feel that way, but I'm not doing it.
I'm with you there. So we've talked about this before. Horror games are not my thing. I don't like love horror games. I don't love jump scares. I just not like the thing that I love.
Yeah, I don't either. But I played all of the original Resident Evil.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I did too with the like context of like playing them with friends.
Yes.
Right. That was the thing. It's like every Resident Evil I've ever played, I played with friends. And that is something that I enjoyed about the early games. That since really Resident Evil 4, just haven't had an opportunity to do, and thus I haven't really played anything past Resident Evil 4. So that's, yeah.
I'm exactly in the same boat. Like, if we could get in this room that I'm sitting in now, have the fan up,
have all the lights on,
all the doors locked,
yep.
Like, that's how we do that. And yep. And there are so many good Resident Evil games right now. Like, I really want to play the Resident Evil 2 remake because that was one of my favorite out of the original series was Resident Evil 2. So I really want to play it, but I'm not doing it until you are available.
That's 100%
fair. I'm just not.
So, all of that said, I just heard a child in my background. So I need to go deal with a child. Yeah. But we got a lot of time in, which we got through the whole show before that happened, which is good. So happy about that. So this is the beginning of E4. We've got a lot of E4 to come. Like I mentioned, the Microsoft conference, whatever it is, thing now that they're doing happens tomorrow for us, which is Sunday, which is after you probably hear this. But we'll be talking about that. We've got Future Game Show, PC Game Show, Sony just did a thing. We'll have Nintendo Switch stuff to talk about. We've got tons to talk about. E4 is here. It's happening. We're excited about it. It's great.
And I'm really going to be careful with what I'm about to say, but we're going to try really, really hard to not stop E4 halfway through like we did last year. Yeah. I don't want to do that again, so we're going to try really hard to not do that, because this is our favorite time of the year.
Yes.
Hang with us. We're trying to get things back up and running. We're trying to get our lives under control so we can do more of this, because we really want to be here.
Yes.
And I want you guys to know that. So just hang with us, and we'll do everything that we can to be here.
Especially, it's going to be a little more spread out than it was in years past, but we're going to get through stuff, and we're excited about that.
Yes, absolutely. With that being said, somebody needs to call our voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
They keep trying to take it away from us, and I keep calling and cursing at them. So somebody needs to call our voicemail line, and so that I don't have to. If you would like to send us an email, gaminguncensored@gmail.com. You can go by the Patreon page, like he said. You can join the Discord. I cannot tell you the amount of stuff that goes on at the Discord on a daily basis. There's some sort of discussion happening. There's somebody talking about something. I've gone off on several things, including The Last of Us 2. There's a lot of great people over there. If you're not joined over there, you definitely need to be. You can find that link, because it still works, at gaminguncensored.com.
Yes, for sure.
Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. This has been Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of the Summer Game Fest. It's E4. It's the Electronic Entertainment Expo extravaganza, which doesn't exist anymore, but we don't care. And we're out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.